Hey there, folks. Welcome back to Hardly Heroes. The recording date is April 17, 2021. We have just watched, in the past day, we have just watched episode 5 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and episode 5 of
Six.
Invincible, if I'm not mistaken. Six?
Yeah.
Six. Fair enough. How much, let me ask, how much of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers have you guys seen?
Zero.
None of it.
I love it. It's got Lorelai Gilmore in it as a mom.
Hmm.
Yeah. Eddie, real quick before we get started on the... Do you have an next door post this week?
I do, actually. Did you hear
John
and I talking about it?
Hot and heavy.
I'm curious. Did you hear John and I discussing it?
I did not, actually.
Oh, well then, what a coincidence then.
This is me just trying to go Anna Paquin and change the format on the show.
All right, well yeah, I do have one. And this is not a complaint. This is not a neighbor being annoying or someone is, you know, destroying their yard or something. Actually, most of the posts are about, like, looking for yard care. But I saw this, and I was like, damn, this is a really good point. Like,
uh-huh.
And all the post says is, why are dressing rooms still closed for my safety? I was like, that's a really good point, because when Kohl's by me, so Kohl's closed because it wasn't like, I guess buying clothes was not a necessity. So you had to order your clothes online, pick them up, and then call when you get outside, pop your trunk so then they can put it in, and they won't even touch your trunk. The whole thing was preposterous looking back. But I remember when Kohl's opened, I went and bought some stuff, and I went to go try it on, and it said the exact same thing. She said, it's like dressing rooms are closed for your safety. It's like, my safety? It's changing clothes. What is going on? So I took it home, tried it on. Something didn't
stuck
fit.
In a shirt.
No, shirts are okay. It's really more a pants. It's like,
no. When I was a kid, I literally got my eyelid stuck in a shirt zipper. I had like a collared shirt that zipped up and got my eyelid caught in a shirt zipper.
Well, that sounds painful. Probably better that you would have been at home for that, though.
We're not all, you know, baby geniuses like old John here.
What?
I guess it's better than what happened in There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, so I took home a couple pair of pants, and one of them didn't fit. So I was like, wait a minute. So now I have to return the pants, buy a correct pair, and go back to the store a second time. And me going to the store a second time is somehow safer than me just trying on the clothes inside the dressing room. But I don't know. The whole thing was so stupid. But luckily, we've kind of debunked the whole COVID lives on surfaces and can get you. And it's like, not as much anymore. But apparently, there are some stores. People commented and dropped some names of some stores where the dressing rooms are now open. But I'm guessing she's quoting directly from Kohl's because it literally says "closed for your safety," which is like the dumbest thing. It's a dressing room. I will not die going into a dressing room. I promise you, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And in worst case, you can just put some do like at the gym and just put some sanitary wipes by it. It's a dressing
yes.
room. You know. The dressing
yes.
rooms are no more dangerous than the clothing racks where you pick the clothes up on. But,
mm-hmm.
you know.
The only thing I will say is that more confined spaces than actually just shopping in the store.
Yeah, you can close every other dressing. Well, no, some of them are like rooms, so it doesn't matter if they're right next to each other.
You go into the dressing room and you're spitting all over the place, and then I walk into the dressing room right after you. It's going to be contained more there than in the rest of the store.
Yes, John, everyone walks around, tobacco in their lip, spitting on the ground.
What kind of dressing rooms do you go into where you're spitting everywhere?
I would imagine Columbus is a little bit better, but I'm sure Oklahoma is just full of people with
it is funny because I see people in Oklahoma that come into my store. They come in, they don't spit on the ground. That's insane. But they do carry a spitter with them, which is those of you who are uncultured, a spitter is basically just a pop or a water bottle that's been emptied.
And they cut the top off.
They do not cut the top off.
I've seen people cut the top off.
Well, over what? Here it doesn't happen.
Why are you both seeing spitters? I've joked to both of you guys about you living in rural areas. But Jesus Christ, I live in New York, and the worst we have is people who sometimes spit on the street or the sidewalk at worst. I've never seen anybody spitting into something in public.
Well, it's for tobacco.
Well, I'm going to say this. I was going to say, like, yeah, it's better for someone to spit into a bottle than onto the ground when it comes to tobacco.
But when you're outside, it looks less weird to just be like, yeah, I'm just going to spit in the street than to, hey, I'm going to let me pull out my spit bucket and
spit. Again, it's not a bucket. It's like a bottle the size of like a water or a pop bottle.
Or sometimes it is a water bottle. And then I've seen people, they just cut the top off where you screw on the lid. And that makes a hole a little wider. Now, keep in mind, I have not seen one in many, many years. I did grow up in a small town in Ohio, so that's that has happened. But yeah,
I've made it different. I've lived somewhere with like public sewers, so I can't imagine that people just walking around spitting into buckets and bottles.
I mean, it's gross. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, no, I'm not here advocating for tobacco chewing. No, like it causes mouth cancer.
Yeah, I'd rather smoke cigarettes than chew tobacco.
I would rather not do any of those things.
That too.
Like, I have enough vices with junk food. Like, I don't need to be adding tobacco into the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I've...
Now, weed, though.
It's coming along. It'll be legal eventually, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm eventually going to get my medical card because I'm sure I could ride by on my anxiety and my acid reflux and get a card pretty easy, but, you know, haven't gone through the process.
I actually looked into it for tinnitus, and apparently it doesn't help, so I was like, well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just say you have anxiety instead, then.
I'm not anxious.
Just be like, I'm anxious. Anxious about not getting this weed card.
Could do that.
And they'll be like, okay, yeah. Oh, by the way, the Braves are one of the streakiest teams in baseball, and I hate it. I'm too impatient for that kind of thing.
All right, and that was our Braves talk this week.
And everyone's hurt, so that's awesome. We've legit put like 6 guys on the IL in the past week.
It happens. Our team just sucks. Our team just sucks. So whatever.
Didn't the Yankees do that all of like 2019 and 2020 as well?
Yes, this year we have no excuse, though. We're just not good. But it's April. I don't worry about records until May. I've always been that way.
Fair enough.
So your friend Floyd talking about his Red Sox, just get ready for a come down.
I was going to say, like, I've told him, I'm like, dude, like, you're high-stepping into the end zone, and you're on your own 10-yard line.
Yeah, April baseball, there's so many years when it's an illusion. Like, I've seen Baltimore, like, do really well in April so many years, or just all these bad teams do well in April so many years, and ESPN stupidly buys in, like, oh, are they for real? It's like, no, they're not. And then it's like, oh, then Baltimore just lost, you know, 9 of 10, and it's like...
Or, like, look at the 2019 Nats, for example. They had one of the worst records in baseball through, like, late May, and they won the World Series later that season.
Yeah, I guess I don't... It'd be nice to do well in April, but it's like, it doesn't. To me, April is just extended spring training. Everybody's just getting all their kinks
out. It's one of those things like, look at how the Braves are batting. We're doing awful. But like, it's one of those things I would love, like, it would put my mind at ease if we got more wins right now. But I know we've got the juice whenever, you know, the health comes along. We're going to do much better. But it's just one of those things. The winning in April would be a bonus, you know?
Yeah. I don't put much stock into April baseball. I'm glad it's back, but April is, in my opinion, the best month for all of sports. So,
yeah,
we're changing the name of the show from Hardly Heroes to Barely Baseball. Maybe YouTube bickering about
that would be appropriate because, like, we spent like maybe 4 minutes on it, and we're gonna move on.
You guys spit to your spittoons and talk about day baseball games.
John, nobody owns a spittoon.
You got your spittoon going, every time you guys spit into it. Walking around with your cowboy boots and your spurs on the back.
I don't know either of those things.
I know how you guys live out there.
Out there.
You hear that? Anyway,
in the rural area of Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus. Do we want to lead off with Invincible or Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Either way.
Let's do.
I suppose Eddie doesn't recap, so it's up to him.
Well, next week is the season, I guess maybe even series finale of Falcon Winter Soldier. So let's lead off with Invincible this week, and then next week we'll do Falcon Winter Soldier to talk about the finale.
Fair enough.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I figured out why Steven Yeun is in Invincible.
Because they cast him?
Not just because they cast him, but they cast him because, like The Walking Dead, Invincible is based on a comic by Robert Kirkman.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
I saw him in Minari this week, which was a pretty good movie. That doesn't really go anywhere, but is enjoyable.
I looked at on-demand prices for Nobody, and they want you to pay $20 to rent the thing. Like, I'm probably just about to nut up and go to the theater.
Yeah, you should just go to the theater. You're already vaccinated.
Yeah.
Not that that stopped you before, but...
Yeah, but he has to drive 55 miles away to go to the nearest movie theater.
That's true.
I actually do have to drive, like, nearly an hour away to get to the theater.
Yep, sounds about right.
Where, like, you live where, like, next to people who are in witness protection, basically. That's how in the middle of nowhere you are. You gotta, like... at the gas station, he points you down the road. You got to know which cactus to turn at. Then eventually you find Caleb's house just sitting there.
Bruh, I live right off the highway. Go off.
I mean, I don't know. The highway in rural Oklahoma could still be out in the middle of nowhere.
Whatever.
You mean, you just admitted you live an hour from a theater.
Yep. No, I live an hour from an open theater. Regular times, I live a solid 25 minutes from an open theater.
Why is it not open?
Because Regal closed down all their branches.
Oh, so it's not open.
Regal. I say Regal across the country is open as of yesterday.
But not entirely. In fact, I think this location I go to, it's actually close to where I work. I believe their open date is May 21. Oddly enough.
That's very strange.
That's I agree.
That's so slow, they have to download the movies on dial-up. Show them.
I just love that Caleb calls theaters branches like they're banks.
Whatever, dude.
I was going to say something, probably to make fun of Caleb, but I forgot. So anyway, we'll just start with Invincible. Mm-hmm. So... I'm going back to the Wikipedia notes, because you know what? I thought it went well last week. I thought it made it nice, crisp, and very quick. So.
Glover?
What?
You said Crispin, so I said Crispin Glover. I said like the dad from...
No.
Like George McFly.
No, or Willard.
Or Benoit. But no, I said crisp.
All right.
Like a cereal. CRISP. So, Robot, he gathers mystic ingredients to save and restore Amanda, who is Monster Girl. And this is, I think, where we discovered Black Samson not dead. So, sorry, we reported that incorrectly. I thought he died, honestly. I guess he made it. So, good for him. I'm glad.
Yeah.
So, yes, previously reported dead. That was fake news. So, after his week-long recovery humbled him, Mark makes amends with Amber, and both accompany William for an upstate university weekend visit, which I loved that the college is named Upstate University, and it's just UU. This is so lazy.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, who played the frat douche in the first scene of this episode?
You told us, but I didn't recognize his name.
Okay, it's Justin Roiland. He's the voice of Rick and Morty, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but yes, he was a douche.
Mm-hmm.
A trust fund kid who wanted to sleep with two girls, and they blew him off.
Three girls, I believe.
Three girls who looked kind of the same, like they were, I thought they were triplets at first.
I thought it was replicate. I'm like, what the hell?
I did too. I was like, oh, no, they're got kind of different hair, but yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, though, William is really mostly interested in visiting his ex-boyfriend, Rick. So, ulterior motives.
Yes.
One of D.A. Sinclair's cyborgs, that's, they had this in the college class, this guy, D.A. Sinclair, who is kind of a know-it-all. And if you've ever taken a college class, there's always one guy who always like, actually, teacher, you know,
well, actually,
I've done this before, and it's super annoying. But he was that guy, and he has this thing where like he makes humans better, so he says, where he just implants robot pieces in them. And for the frat douche in the beginning, he kidnaps him and puts all these robot parts in him. And one of the scenes that I thought was kind of, I don't want to say frightening because it's animated, but like, I think if this were real, like to be able to look down and see your arm is cut off and it's replaced with like a robot arm, that'd be pretty frightening in real life, obviously.
Okay, can you guys hear me now?
Yes, John.
All right, because I was yelling for a solid like 30 seconds just thinking you were ignoring me.
I was actually ignoring you. No, go ahead. I didn't hear you at all.
No, I was just going to say, when you were talking about the DA whatever guy, that did I ever tell you guys that there was one time in one of my college classes where – actually, one of my – yeah, it was one of my grad-level classes that we had a guy who got kicked out for being drunk and falling asleep in class and then arguing with the professor all basically in the same day.
Amazing.
And he was an older guy. This was like this old Jamaican guy. And, yeah, he'd fall asleep, and then he'd correct the professor on everything, even though he was usually wrong. And it was amazing, and stuff that you only get at Brooklyn College.
I don't think I've ever had anyone kicked out of school, or kicked out of a class. I've had the teacher snap at people before because they kept interrupting. The one that was most annoying, I remember, was, like, this older guy. It was probably in, like, his mid-40s. I'm assuming just had to get some kind of certification or whatever, so he had to go back to college. And everything the teacher said, he's like, well, you know, I do this in real life, and, you know, actually what it is. And it's like, dude, enough. Like, we don't need your input. Like, I don't, you know. Anyway. So, now, the douchebag, as we'll call him, he eventually gets all the robot parts put into him. He is now a cyborg. He escapes. He's fighting with a bunch of people. Invincible shows up. And Invincible, in Invincible fashion, gets beat up. We were discussing this in the group chat that...
spends so much time getting his ass kicked.
Yes. It's good that he is Invincible because he cannot fight.
You know what we did? I say, you know what we didn't talk about? This was the episode where they said Invincible for sure. I don't know. I know we talked last week about we couldn't remember if they did say it ever on the show or not, but they definitely said it a couple of times this week.
Yeah, they say it later on, but earlier when they cut to the title screen was when Sinclair was like, I'll put all this robot parts in you and it'll make you, and then cut to Invincible.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I feel like they're adding more and more blood splatter onto the Invincible each week. Like, it started clean, and then it's like each week there's another new splatter that happens.
I think you're right.
I might be.
I feel like that's a fun little thing that they've been doing too.
Well, you know, because it represents how he cannot fight. But thankfully, in this case, the cyborg, he looks at himself in the pool after after Invincible pulls his little metal, not really a mask, but like metal faceplate off his head, and he sees himself, and he just he runs into this pointy statue and kills himself.
Yeah, it's the Ray Phoenix ending.
Mm-hmm. So William simultaneously deduces that Mark is invincible because he's like they're fighting over him and he looks up and he sees like the jawline and everything, and I thought this was good because so often like you can't people just don't know who these people are, but it's like you should be able to. So luckily he's able to figure it out. And after this, of course, Amber is mad because, you know, Mark ditched him when there was trouble. And it seems like she's really broken up with him this time.
I would say she is the most forgiving woman in the world, though, because she's given this guy chance after chance after chance. And for him to not just be like, oh, I'm a superhero, which I know we'll eventually get to, I'm sure. But, like, how dumb is he?
They haven't even dated that long.
But he clearly really likes her. So if now at this point, once your friend knows, at this point you might as well tell her. I understood when nobody knew that you're like afraid, but as long as one person knows, everybody can know at that point.
I think she'll find out next week or the week after. So she's mad. She goes to a party, and let's see, where were we at? Oh, so so William and who was it? Rick? Is that his name? Yeah. William, Rick, and Mark are back at the dorm room, and Rick's like, "Well, I'll just go pick up some food, and we'll just chill out here." And we see Rick FaceTimes William, and he's like, "Oh, you guys need anything else?" And then the FaceTime shuts off. And he's like, he goes to Mark, who he knows is invincible. He's like, yeah, I think something's wrong with Rick. He's like, you know, it's probably just, you know, weak internet because, you know, you live in rural Oklahoma. So it's maybe the call just dropped. He's like, no, something's wrong. He's like, well, I'm going to go find Amber. You know, let me know if you really can't find him. So that is what happens. So unfortunately, we know Rick is not okay. He is also transformed into a cyborg, and Amber does go to a party. I think some guy with a boyfriend hits on her, but I don't think he was actually hitting on her. I'm not sure. Anyway, William does get who was it? Invincible to show up, and we see that yes, Rick has been turned into a cyborg, and he now has to battle again, which, of course, there's multiple cyborgs, so we know how that goes. So he gets beat up, but William gets through to Rick through his cybernetic programming, reminds him of the time that they made love on the beach or under a waterfall or whatever it was, and he snaps out of it, and he helps Invincible win. So there you go.
Yeah, at this point,
yeah.
Luchador's mask power has to be that he's Mick Foley, you know?
So, afterwards, the cleanup crew shows up. Cecil takes interest in Sinclair's technology, which overwhelmed Invincible's Villamite Phyllis. I don't know what that word is. Whatever their alien race is.
Yeah.
Viltrumite. Something. He's just intrigued by it because he's like, hey, this was able to beat up this invincible guy. So, elsewhere, Debbie has Art Rosenbaum do forensics on Nolan's body costume. And he sadly confirms Nolan indeed killed the Guardians based on the blood splatter, where it was, all that sort of thing. So after we both, after they both fearfully agree to keep quiet, we see that Omni-Man is outside with his super hearing. He can hear all this.
Also, am I wrong? Isn't Art the same guy who made the costumes in the first place?
Yes.
So he's making costumes, and he's a forensics expert. He's kind of just a catch-all, I guess.
Yeah, he's just a costumes Jackson. Guy. So, Omni-Man comes home. Debbie is in a drunken depression, and they argue, and he keeps denying it, and I don't know. He knows that she knows, and she knows that he killed him, so I think it's only a matter of time before something explodes with them. And then, meanwhile, elsewhere, again, midway through...
I don't want to cut you off, but I'm starting to feel like she might just have a heel turn, too. Right? Is anybody else getting those hints that it's feeling like she's going to just align with Omni-Man and know that he's evil, but still be like, well, that's my husband?
I do not think that. I don't know. I think something would have to happen for that to, for her to do that, because it seems like she kind of like, lives in fear of him.
Doesn't she say at one point to Art that he can't tell anybody or something like that? I think there's like hints that like they're gonna smooth things over, and I think it's just gonna be this evil power couple. I think it'll also add interesting dynamics to like then how does Mark deal, like, because at least Mark finding out his dad's bad is gonna be one thing, but then to find out both his parents are bad, like, you know what I mean, he's gonna probably find out dad's bad first, then I could see mom sort of aligning with dad in that whole like does she take the son or the father thing. I don't know, just some predictions from me.
I'm more that I don't think Omni-Man will kill his wife, but I would not be surprised if Cecil does, because he doesn't want this to get out about Omni-Man. The same way that they sent the demon,
Mr. Krabs, yeah.
Yeah. Dark Blood back to hell.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's my theory. I think he kills the wife, Debbie. So, midway through cloning the robot, cloning the body robot commissioned from them, the Mahler twins decide to dig up Immortal from his grave to resurrect as an enthralled bodyguard. For the instance, should robot betray them. That doesn't go well because the Mahler twins show up.
Yeah.
And the
line that we're going to close out this episode on.
Mm-hmm. And then the other story arc was inspired by Amber. Eve skips college to use her powers directly with humanitarian endeavors. So...
yeah, it's one of those things, like, when people, like, when Infinity War came out, they're like, well, Thanos says he wants to, you know, get rid of hunger and all this other crap. He claims to be altruistic. Why doesn't he just, you know, replicate crops? Well, that's what Eve does.
Mm-hmm. She is, I would say it's very much like her character in Community, Britta.
Yeah.
So yeah, using her powers for good.
She's gonna find a way for that to screw up, because you know she'll Brita it.
So something will definitely happen where she'll realize that this way, even though it's pretty good, is gonna fail.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, pretty good episode.
Do we know how long this season is gonna run?
It just says 8 on Wikipedia. Wikipedia could be wrong, but possibly 2 more weeks.
I thought this was the series so far, but it's still not bad. Just not as good as the other one. I feel like it had been going up and up and up, And then this week was just a little bit of like a sidetrack for me, where it was like, oh, this is fine, but this isn't. It felt more traditional superhero-y to me than the last like 5 weeks before this.
Yeah,
I agree with Monica.
Yeah, I would say I don't want him to keep introducing villains week after week, but it felt like anything that wasn't the Amber and Mark story or the Omni-Man and Debbie story was kind of just like extra stuff that maybe could have been done elsewhere, but
it felt like the most sort of skippable episode. Like, if you missed this week, you didn't miss anything that important. Like, even if you say, oh, well, Debbie finding out about the costume or whatever, you know, that he definitely did kill them. All right, but she kind of had her suspicions before, so it's like, there wasn't anything to me that was, like, earth-shattering this week. I guess Mark's identity being known by whatever his name is, again, I'm always bad with the names, but the friend was, like, kind of William. The key thing, but... Overall, yeah. But overall, it just didn't feel like a lot happened this week.
Yeah, no, and then we didn't get any follow-up with Titan.
I think that was my biggest disappointment. I really wanted to see more in that story. And I was a little disappointed that, like, Black Samson was alive and that Monster Girl was being saved and or replicated. Like, I wanted it to be that, like, because this has been so sort of unconventional... Like, let some heroes die. I wanted Black Samson to be dead and that be the big, like, rallying point for the rest of the Teen Titans. But they couldn't just go all the way with it, and that kind of disappointed me.
Yes, and then the big lion, Thok, no mention of him either. So, yeah, hopefully it should be a great final two episodes, though.
But I will say it was funny that we finally got the follow-up that I think we haven't seen since, like, episode two with the John Hamm security guard stepson that, like, we first heard about in, like, the opening scenes of episode one and then came back, I think, maybe once in episode two near the end. And now he's one of the two kids digging in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, because when he said, that's at least, I couldn't remember 100%, but that's how I took it, because when he said something like, oh, my dad's going to lose his job at the White House for this, I was like, oh, this is coming back around now. So, we'll see where that goes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, also, he's probably dead, though.
Yeah, probably.
Now, the main event, I suppose, is Falcon and the Winter Soldier this week. Not as much action this week, but much more story-driven. But that's not a bad thing, because I thought this was another great episode. I thought the show was... Last week, I mean, the show really turned around.
This is trending in a better direction now. I'm getting more interested in Winter Soldier now each week.
Yeah, this was a good episode, and it's setting up for quite the finale next week, so I'm very much looking forward to that. But I guess we can get started with that. So, Wilson and Barnes demand the shield from Walker, and this was where Walker ran off after his murder, and, you know, he's like... upset with himself that he allowed that to happen, and then, you know, Wilson and then Barnes show up. They're like, hey, listen, you're done. You got to hand over the shield. Like, you know, come on. And they have a fight. And Walker, in the fight, should mention that Walker destroys Wilson's wings, rips them off.
Yeah.
But they are able to pry the shield out of his arm. With, Bucky has him pinned against this pillar, and Falcon's, like, turned his jetpack on, and they're just, like, prying it, and then it finally breaks his arm to actually get the shield away from him, so I thought that was pretty cool. The shield's still dripping with blood, also.
Yeah.
And Barnes finds Zemo in Sokovia and hands him over... to the Wakandans, so maybe the end of him, I guess. This is where we see Walker receives a it was called an other than honorable discharge and is stripped of his role as Captain America. And I thought this was
slowly just freaking out. This episode was great.
Yeah, this it was actually this scene where I came to the conclusion that I think Wyatt Russell might be the best actor in this show. When the guy was like, he's like, I'm still Captain America. And he's like, not anymore. And I was really into this scene a lot. And they're like, and it's funny because you could tell that it was mostly just a PR thing. Like, they don't care that you killed this random flag smasher dude who was probably a bad guy anyway. They care that you got caught killing
and
him.
And he says multiple times, he goes, I was just doing what you taught me to do. I was just following orders. I was doing what you wanted.
Yeah.
And they can't deny that.
Yeah, I mean, like, we know that they want him to do that, but, like, you're also a symbol, and, like, you can't do that as the symbol, but we know the reason he did it was because the super serum, he's out of control now, and as they said, it makes you who they really are, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was a big scene. But afterwards...
Yeah, also, I was gonna say, who would have thought that with the way both shows were trending a few weeks ago, that Captain America would be the one that actually killed off a character and not Invincible.
Yeah.
Lamar actually being dead, but Black Samson actually being alive. I would have 100% bet the other way.
Yeah, Disney isn't usually ballsy enough to kill someone off until like the very end of a movie, so I get it.
Well, then we get a big character debut. Because afterwards, you know, Wilson and his wife are sitting in the hall, and we get...
She comes in dancing, and she's talking about a contest, and it's Elaine Bennis.
No, it is Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
She's the vice president of the United States.
Yes, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
The Veep.
Yeah. So, this was... So, for those who don't know, I had to do some digging on this character. So, I'm only going to go with, like, the basics, because I don't think Disney Plus is going to have time to really, really dive into, like, all of her backstory. But she's a villain, obviously, who has infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. as a double agent. She eventually becomes, like, a triple agent, but, like, that I don't think they'll get into. But she's basically a double agent. There's a lot of theories out there that she is the power broker. So she's already... I mean, you can already tell she was evil. But she is apparently in S.H.I.E.L.D., although they don't mention that in this episode. But you can tell she's evil, but she also is able to walk into this, you know, military building, you know. So she apparently has some clearance. So... And then she's like, look, I know you took the super serum, and I know what you did was right. So she knows all this stuff, when it's like, he's just like, how in the world does this person know this? And she's like, you know, when I call, answer, here's my card, and it's just a blank card, which was good. So, very interesting. I think she'll be clearly the villain this season. No Mephisto again, but... I know, another series and not him. But, yeah, I think she's clearly some kind of... I don't know if she's going to be, like... Because I think in the comics she was in Russia. She was a Russian agent or Hydra or both, depending on what you read. But I think in this case she's just going to be a villain who is in S.H.I.E.L.D. but is, like, a double agent. But somehow she knows all this about Wilson. And there you go. That's the end of him for this week, except the end credit scene. Did you guys see the end credit scene, by the way?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, good. So, Wilson, he leaves the damaged wingsuit with Torres, and he's like, keep the wings. And Torres, by the way, becomes the next Falcon, at least in the comics. Don't know if they'll do that here. Probably.
Pause it. Yeah, that seems to be where this is headed, especially where... with now knowing where Falcon himself is headed.
Yeah, and then we get. I like that. I like that Falcon is like the clear hand me down to Captain America. Like, oh, here, you can be the Falcon. The end game, the end goal is really Captain America. But, you know, yeah, here's these wings.
Yeah. It's like when Turbo Man retired and Booster took over for him.
It's exactly like that. Then we get a pretty pretty intense scene here with... Wilson goes back to Baltimore, and he meets with the not old Captain America. It was the Isaac. Isaac? I don't think it was Elijah. I'm gonna look up his name because that's. I wish I'd have wrote that down, and I'm pretty sure it's wrong in the Wikipedia notes because. So what I get for looking at old fake news Wikipedia.
Yep.
Let's see. It is not him. Not George St. Pierre.
I marked out for him coming back later.
Yeah, he does make a return. Oh, I know how to look it up because the episode. Isaiah
Bradley. That's the name.
It is Isaiah?
Yeah, Isaiah Bradley.
Okay, I was right. So, yes, Isaiah Bradley, he, being Falcon, visits Bradley, and he's got the shield with him in a bag, and Isaiah states that, look, a black man, they're not going to let a black guy be Captain America. And he gives this whole story about
He also says no self-respecting black guy would want to be Captain America even if they would let him. So I think that's obviously planting the seeds too.
Yeah. Well, he had he tells this story where he's like, you know, listen, they experimented with this super serum on me and a bunch of other black guys, and for some reason I was the only one it worked on. And he has this big thing where he's like, I went and rescued a bunch of people, and you know, Steve did the same thing, and he was a hero, but I was, you know, they took me back and imprisoned me and tried to figure out why it worked on me and not all these other people. And then he shows them the scar where they experimented on him from. And this is where
he also talked about all the soldiers that he saw and how he stopped believing in the country basically when they came back from when he saw them fighting and winning wars and then coming back for crosses burning on their lawns. So that was like a good line.
Yeah, and that's where he said that no black man should be or would want to be Captain America, which you know, I got to hand it to Marvel. I noticed it way back when I'm 7, 8 years old with the X-Men cartoon when they had mutants be like a stand-in for racism. So I noticed it way back then. But Marvel's always done a great job of echoing, using their characters to echo like real life. And that was true, especially like this past couple weeks. But I do have not a complaint because it hasn't happened yet, so I can't complain about it. But I do have something I hope for that they don't miss, where because clearly Falcon's going to become Captain America. I mean, we knew that before the series even started, but I would like to know why Wilson. I mean, we the audience kind of know why he's going to be Captain America, but I think Wilson values Bradley's opinion enough that he's got to say, look, I understand why you feel the way you do, but here's why I do need to become Captain America. So I get it, but you're wrong in this case, and this is why a black guy should be Captain America. I hope we get that. Well, I think we will.
I think we're definitely going to get that, because at one point, I don't know if he's going to – if we're going to have a scene where he directly explains it to Bradley, but we're definitely going to get him at least explaining it to himself. Because there's the scene where he talks to his sister, and his sister goes, well, you're just going to let Bradley dictate the way you live your life, basically.
Yeah. And it did feel like, because, I mean, he gets this, like, he gives this impassioned speech about why you shouldn't be Captain America, and then in, like, you know, a few scenes later, he's out there throwing the shield around practicing, so he's clearly decided, yes, I'm going to be this character, but,
yeah.
I do think he's gotta, I don't know if they're gonna do it, I just think he needs to give, like, a speech of, like, why I am Captain America now.
Well, I was going to say, but the last scene of the episode makes it feel like, is he going to direct, I mean, obviously he has the shield, we know he's going to be the heir apparent to Captain America, but is it going to be, like, directly Captain America, or is it going to be, like, Captain America tweaked, sort of, you know what I mean? Because he obviously has something that the original Captain America didn't have. And I'm sure you'll talk about that in a second, but
yes.
We'll figure out what exactly that is.
So yeah, Wilson goes back home. He fixes up the family boat. A lot of the townspeople help out. And
well, that was a cute little thing too, because it was like it kind of reminded me of my parents growing up, because my mom was always that mom who was like, "Yeah, no, everybody come over, I'll take care of everybody's kids, whatever." So it was cute that they were like, "Well, how many people did mom and dad take care of growing up?" And then it's about time we call in some of those favors.
Well, they did. And then Bucky shows up, and he delivers a briefcase from the Wakandans to Wilson, which can only be the Wakandans built a Captain America outfit, but we don't see it this episode. So, Barnes and Wilson, this is where they train with the shield, and they're going to work together. And, yeah, this was kind of where it was funny, where it's like, Wilson clearly was like, yes, I respect you, Bradley, but I'm definitely going to be Captain America. Like, I've already made up my mind. That's why I do hope we at least get a scene where he kind of explains that, but. So, meanwhile, the show ends with the Flag Smashers. They are in New York City now, and they plan an attack on the GRC building. This is where we get old GSP shows up with some weapons. And they have the same guy who stripped Wilson.
He's the Leaper, apparently, is what I learned from listening to an interview with GSP. And now it makes more sense, too, because he did a whole long interview on UFC Unfiltered this week, and he was talking quite a bit about the Leaper, and I was like, all right, but I thought the Leaper was kind of done after that episode, and I guess now it makes sense why the Leaper would come back.
Well, they go to the – I don't know if you caught this. The guy that gave the discharge to Walker was the same guy at the GRC building who was like, yeah, we're going to move all these refugees, why do we even need to vote on this? And then this is where all their power goes out, and we get the...
Yeah, one of the security people or whatever whispers to the other one, he's like, one world, one people, and then everything goes out, or something like that.
Yeah, this is where all the sleeper agents were activated, and Batroc, GSP, who's working with Carter, they kind of storm the building, and we don't really see what happens after that, but it's... We do cut to Wilson, who opens up the briefcase. Let's get a little Pulp Fiction action where he sees it, but we don't see what's inside. But obviously, it's the new suit for Captain America, made by the Wakandans. So you know it's gonna be good stuff.
Absolutely. By the way, the Flag Smashers.
Let's get the post credit scene.
The Flag Smashers suck, and I hate them. And not in like the, oh my god, they're so dastardly, but like in the Baron Corbin, please go away, I hate you.
No, well, you know what I thought was weird with the Flag Smashers too? They like, there's this whole thing where it's like, oh, they're on the run, they must be hiding, they must be deep, deep underground. And then they go back to the same place where Zemo basically found them in the first place.
Exactly.
That was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I enjoy the Flag Smashers as villains. I was actually kind of disappointed with Zemo because he did all this cool stuff in episode 3, and then it's like episode 5, he's like, oh, I guess I'm back under arrest. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So do we talk about Zemo? Yeah, Zemo just gets taken back by the Wakandans.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's just going to live on the rafts and whatever. We're not going to kill him. But
yeah. So that was, yeah, because, you know, Winter Soldier had the gun and he was going to shoot him, but then he dropped all the bullets. He's like, look, I've changed. So, yeah. But we get our mid-credit scene where Walker building a new shield from just regular metal, so I don't think the shield's going to have... Why am I echoing? That's really annoying. So Walker builds the new shield from regular metal. That way it is not going to, you know, boomerang like the other shield does. So, But he does embed it with his Medal of Honor, and presumably he is about to become a U.S. agent who is a Captain America villain.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
By the way, John Walker did nothing wrong when he killed when he didn't give up, he did. But when he killed the terrorist, I don't care. We got the wrong guy and he murdered him. That's like, okay, whatever. But like, didn't these guys commit acts of terror?
They did. It was, I think, how he did it, where it's like the guy had clearly given up and you murdered him. I did forget one scene. It was where Walker goes back to the parents.
He lied to him.
Yeah. Yeah, the parents of Hoskins. And he's like, I killed the guy that killed your son. And it's like, that wasn't who did it. But, yeah, he straight up lies to him.
Yeah. And, dude, seriously, stop trying to put Simpy, and I did say Simpy, stop trying to put Simpy on Carly. She's not sympathetic.
That's what I said last week. It just feels like they're trying to make her a sympathetic villain.
I think her cause is sympathetic. I think her method, it's
like what Falcon said to her last week, which is like, your cause is sympathetic, you are not. Like, the way you're going about this is terrible. Why you feel this way, though. Like,
John.
Yes.
John, another character that, by the way, Joel Schumacher did this better. Because Joel Schumacher had a character named Poison Ivy who wanted to rid the world of pollution. Okay, that's a noble cause. Her solution was genocide. Not a sympathetic character.
No, but like I said, she's not a sympathetic character, but I understand where she's coming from in that, like, I just moved into the apartment that I'm in now in August. If all of a sudden somebody showed up tomorrow, even though I have a lease, and was like, you got to actually move out right this second, I'd want to fight them too. I wouldn't kill anybody, but I would be very angry, and I would understand how somebody who's a little bit more of a loose cannon would be wanting to do that. Like, so like I said, it's her methods are wrong. Like, she shouldn't be killing innocent people. But I understand the, like, issue of, like, everybody with, like, all these people were accepted, found new homes, found new work, and now they're just out on the street because the, like, older people showed up again.
Wow, this sounds like
I understand why that would set somebody off.
This sounds like an allegory for, like, a post-World War II thing. I'm not surprised Disney is making this content, you know? Just saying. We all know about Walt Disney. Is a picture.
Walt's a fan of The Other Side, though.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, that's why it doesn't surprise me that Disney is making this content right now.
Yeah, I was... not as a ton of action this week, but I thought a very good episode, and I think
it was fine.
Set up.
And I think next week seems like it's set up to basically just be an entire action scene for the whole episode, probably.
Yeah, I would say so, and I think we'll get... I will be excited if Carly gets killed.
I feel like what I liked about, like, Endgame, or maybe it was the one before Endgame, but was when they had that sort of... like, tiered fighting system, where it was, like, there was, like, the one-on-one battle, there was the battle with the women, and then there was, like, the big, overarching, like, huge battle. I think we're going to get some degree of that next week, too, where it's going to be, like, the one-on-one, maybe, of, like, Falcon and Carly, and then there's going to be, like, obviously the soldiers fighting sort of outside, and then probably Bucky and some people, but I think next week's just going to be a whole long action scene, basically.
Oh, no, Sharon Carter is going to be in the next episode for sure.
Yeah,
somebody's got it.
I think, and then I think we'll also get a Contessa doing. I think we get the reveal that she is the one, the power broker, as it were.
Yeah. And then Mephisto will show up in the end credits.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, but wouldn't it be something if we caught a reference to, because this is supposed to be going on at the same time, but if we caught a reference to what was going on in New Jersey in WandaVision?
That would be nice.
That would be interesting. Oh, no, go ahead. I'm still looking for the article.
My thing was separate. I was just going to say that I just realized yesterday when I was scrolling around through Disney Plus, I like the way they have it set up where you can – they have the movies on Disney Plus listed where you could either watch them chronologically in the order that they take place, or you could watch them chronologically in the order they were released in theaters.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that they have both of those lists because as somebody who's missed a lot of the Marvel movies and – may catch up before whenever the next Avengers one is. It's nice to like just have that option.
I agree. I just wish they had all the Marvel movies on there.
Yeah. We need the
Which ones are they missing as far as like at least the MCU sort of phase of everything?
Well, I can tell you one is Hulk because we have to watch it on other means to review this week.
But isn't that Hulk not canon though, or is it Mark Ruffalo as Hulk, you're saying?
The first Hulk counts. It's the very first Hulk is the very first MCU movie because we get a post credit scene with I'm pretty sure with Nick Fury is that's the first one. I'd have to watch. I'll watch it tomorrow. But
are you talking about the Ed Norton one? Because I feel like Ed Norton doesn't ever come back into the MCU. So
right, no, he doesn't. But it's that Hulk is still canon, even though they don't really reference it.
I guess. But that's like saying the who was the original Falcon or whatever? Was it Terrence Howard before it was Don Cheadle, right? Or not Falcon, I guess. Yeah, War Machine, there you go. So that's kind of how I look at the Ed Norton Hulk.
Well, for me, it's not even like, oh, fill out the MCU, because you pretty much have it filled out. I mean, other than, I guess, technically the 2003 Hulk and actually the 2008 Hulk, for what it's worth. But you know, other than those two, you pretty much got it filled out. But, like, you own these properties. Like, you own all the X-Men. You own Deadpool. You own, like, every single one of these. Why are they not on your streaming service? I don't care that they're adult. Adults use your service as well.
Well, I would say that's the whole thing, though. Are they on Hulu, at least? Because I know Hulu is where, like, Disney sticks their adult stuff, basically.
Certain, so, certain properties
get the bundle with both, like... Okay, because I have both, so for me it's not really a big deal. It's not like if they're off of like all of their services entirely, then it's odd. But I love the Deadpool movies. I can't wait for another Deadpool. That's just a side note.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm excited.
Let's see. I'm looking at. Okay, what is not on Disney Plus as far as Marvel movies? You know, let's see. Okay, so they don't have. We mentioned the Hulk, and I think Hulk 2. And that might be it, actually. As I look over these, I feel like there's got to be some more, though. Yeah, it might just be the Hulk and Hulk 2, which is strange. Maybe. Anyway. Maybe. There is some rumors, though, of a Wolverine series to be rumored in the works for Disney Plus. So, that is something that's probably many years away, though.
I was going to say like 3-4 years from that actually happening, then.
I would say Well, they usually announce things like a year before they actually come out, so I would say at some point next year they might make the announcement that it'll drop, but it's going to probably be a while.
Yeah. I just want a crossover between Loki and the High School Musical series.
Why?
I'm joking, but that would just be so absurd.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, my thing is I hope that they don't just put Wolverine in the MCU, because Wolverine has a pretty big story arc with Madripoor, the cyberpunk city that they did in Winter Soldier and Falcon. So my hope is that they don't like, oh yeah, Wolverine's just been here this whole time. That would be... That's my biggest fear that they're going to do with the mutants. I just...
Yeah.
I hope not, because that's super lazy writing.
I just hope they do the right thing and cast Danny DeVito as Wolverine.
That would not be the right thing.
That would be amazing.
No.
Some people want Keanu, but like, Keanu's old as whatnot, you know?
I've heard Keanu. To me, that doesn't even make sense. He doesn't even look like him. And it just... I don't get that.
Yeah.
Alright, I have a question. Do you guys think that there's any chance, and I know it seems unlikely, that the whole Carly Morgenthau people displaced by the return or whatever, that that's going to tie into mutants longer term? Not saying that we're going to see mutants this episode, but that, like... I don't know. Because you know how, like, they feel like the mutants are the whole thing where it's like half the population exploited or whatever the case is?
No, mutants... I don't know. They had an opportunity in WandaVision and they decided to do a dick joke instead.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. To me, it has to be another dimension and then you eventually can merge them together. But I don't know. By the way, Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home are not on Plus as well.
Okay. I was just going to say, I think you have to do, what's it called, though? I think eventually, like, I think the long-term next step is getting the X-Men in, though, because I feel like, how are you going to top the, like, insanity of Endgame? And the only thing that could be bigger is to now be like, all right, now we're bringing the X-Men into the fold, too.
And Galactus.
So, one way or the other.
I mean,
gotta have the X-Men in by the next sort of Avengers movie, like even if it's like Avengers versus X-Men or whatever.
I don't mind a Wolverine series. I think that's actually a good idea. I've said that I think X-Men works better as a series, and I think that, I mean, look, Wolverine and Captain America have had several stories together, so. I mean, you could do something like that. The problem is Wolverine's a mutant, so how do you incorporate? My one fear is that they just are like, oh, these mutants have been here the whole time. We just never mention them at all, and that to me would come off as like so bad. I don't want that. To me, the best way is there's an alternate dimension where it's like everything is similar but not quite. And that there are mutants. So it's like, in this dimension, Wanda and her brother are mutants not created with the Infinity Stones. So do something like that, and then eventually merge them together through maybe...
But do you think that's something where, like, when everybody reverted from the snap, that, like, somebody from that alternate dimension sort of, like, snuck through or something like that? Like, is, I think, more along the lines of kind of what I'm thinking of. Like, because all these people who were gone for the 5 years during the snap had to exist in some sort of dimension somewhere. So, you know what I mean? Like, what if one of them got turned in the dimension or... So, like, something sort of along those lines to justify, like, the eventual crossover for mutants.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Like, that's not terrible.
Here's my idea. So, when all hope seems lost next week in the finale, you have Hugh Jackman show up to help the guys fight, and at the end of the fight, they're like, dude, what's your name? He's like, Logan. Logan Boner.
He's actually, he shows up, but he's just a figment of the imagination of Falcon.
Or he shows up as his character from The Greatest Showman.
I don't know. I thought they had a great idea set up in WandaVision to eventually merge the worlds together, and they didn't do it.
That was damn insulting. Like, that's why a lot of people turned on the show, is because of that.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to bash them for something they haven't done yet, but I feel like that was a missed opportunity. We'll see what they do. We'll see what they do. But it's like, I don't know. Maybe you could have pulled the trigger with that one.
The thing is, that's not a missed opportunity. What that was is like, imagine a fast break in basketball, and literally everyone else on the opposing team is on the other side of the court. You are staring at an open layup, and you still pass the ball out for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope they have a good idea, but I don't know. It's going to be tough because, I mean, it works in comics, but when two different properties owned two different things, you know, like you couldn't make Avengers movies and reference mutants, otherwise lawsuit. You couldn't do the Wolverine movies and Wolverine be like, oh yeah, and by the way, I teamed up with Captain America once. That won't work either. So you had to keep them very, very separate. And now that they're all owned under one company, you can bring them together, which everybody wants to see, but it has to make sense. Yeah. And it's like a world where people are like super powered and a world where people are mutants are very different things. And you can't just be like, oh, well, that's weird. Mutants have started to pop up in 2022. That's so strange that this is happening now. Like,
and I know it would screw with the timelines, but if we're slowly replacing heroes like Captain America anyway, have we seen any of these people, like, let's say Captain America or even Isaiah Bradley, like, these people have children, or at least Isaiah Bradley has grandkids, we've seen, it seems like. So could that be sort of how the mutants come about? Is that, like, I don't know how much retconning that would take, because I don't really know the mutants' like origin story. But like, if it's now the case that like these people who got the super serum have kids, and those kids basically are born with, you know, the remnants of the serum, and that's how we get mutants, is that like they're the sort of spawn of these people who have gotten the super serum?
Maybe. Well, the first mutant was Apocalypse, and that was back in ancient Egypt, and I could be wrong, but I don't think mutants pop up until, like, let's see. Because, like, Mr. Sinister is from the 1800s, and he takes, like, Darwin's research and is like, I don't think Darwin went far enough. And he's like, I think there's people with special powers. And he does this weird stuff where he, like, experiments on people and everything, and then Apocalypse shows up and makes him a mutant, but he was not born one.
But that's the thing. I feel like you can do some retconning now that you're like joining the universes cinematically. Like, I think maybe you could sort of retcon the origins a bit. And I know it might. Yeah. I know there's. You're always gonna get your diehard comic book fans that are gonna freak out anytime anything isn't true to the original. But like I said, as a casual sort of superhero guy, I feel like that's another easy way to be like, oh well, this is actually how we got. Because you figure, especially let's say like a guy like Isaiah Bradley is in his, what, 70s or 80s? So his kids would be in their, like, 40s or 50s now. It's entirely feasible that, like, people around the age of Wolverine, let's say, or whatever, would be in existence after being the spawn of these people who got the super serum.
Yeah, Wolverine, I don't know if there's, like, an established, like, Apocalypse, first mutant, born in ancient Egypt, the dawn of civilization. I don't know if Wolverine's supposed to be the second mutant. I don't know. That's some deep comic book stuff that I'm not aware of. But, I mean, I've seen him, like, fight in the Civil War, so it's possible that he could be, like, the second mutant, him and Sabretooth, maybe. But I know Marvel does, like, the floating timeline where it's like, you know, Magneto was in, you know, his parents and him were separated in World War II during Auschwitz, but now mm-hmm. you have to, like, float it up, and maybe you could do, I don't know, like, the, I mean, lately they've been doing, because they used to do World War II, and then they switched to Vietnam, now they've switched to, you know, Afghanistan, so I don't know. It'll be interesting, but I think with Wolverine, though, you have to keep him as old as he was, otherwise it's not as great.
Not as great.
I don't know why this keeps echoing, but that's super annoying.
The real question, though, is when do we get the eventual Invincible crossover into the MCU?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Probably never.
Fair enough. I guess with that, we can get out of here, right?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yep, fair enough, fair enough. All right, to quote the Mahler twins, or one of the Mahler twins, rather, probably the clone, let's be honest. don't believe everything you read on the internet, kids.